You're listening to Coleman Power on the Organic Fitness Podcast.
All right, welcome to the latest episode of the Coleman Power Organic Fitness Podcast. I have my latest guest here in front of me, most certainly Ollie from Better Plants, right from and hailing from County Mullingar. Ollie, say hello to the listeners.
How you doing, everyone out there? Thanks very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to get on the podcast.
No problem at all. I suppose I brought you on as someone who's interested in, I suppose, growing and that being something that's really important for the likes of the future in itself. And we'd be on, I suppose, a similar playing field that, again, the better foods that you eat, your overall health will improve out the other side of it. And yeah, so I suppose let the listeners know a little bit about your background, where you're based and what you're currently doing and growing in the polytunnel even at this time of year.
Yeah, I suppose, look, at the business we set up, I suppose, is Better Plants. And I suppose just a bit of brief around that. Like, I grew up growing my own vegetables. And I was only talking to a friend of mine yesterday, how to get into gardening. And I said, how I actually got into gardening was my taste buds. I remember my father growing the peas and the early spuds at home. They're too memorable. And having that early potato with a bit of butter on it, like, it was just amazing. And when I had my own house and my own family, I said, God, I want to replicate that. I want to experience that again. So I started out then growing a own bit of vegetables just for the family here, the daughter and my wife. And then I was looking for something to nourish the soil. And I do a lot of surfing anyway. So I used to be going up and back down to Sligo surfing. And I used to be trying to get good soil conditioners, good fertilizers. I went to local hardwares or local, anywhere I was looking, it was all imported stuff. And then they'd say it was organic, but it was more organic now than, random, you know. So I was down surfing one day, I was having my buddy Dave, and I thought I'd bring a few bars, and I started bringing up seaweed off the yoke, and I started making up my own feed then of seaweed and seaweed mulch, and I was using it on the garden, and geez, this was going for a while, and I gave some to a neighbour of mine, and God, she said, bottle that and sell it, mighty stuff, like. So that's kind of where we started, and it was a passion for just keeping chemicals off what I was growing. And then at the moment, like I suppose I started off, and what I always advise people, start small. You know, you don't have to start with a big patch. And, you know, if you start off even like my I wasn't, I'd say, much bigger than 8 foot by 5 foot, my little pot I had at the start. And then, of course, maybe a year down the road, I got a polytunnel, and then I got another polytunnel, and then I got a greenhouse. And then, of course, you have to get another polytunnel and another greenhouse. And then
it turned into an addiction. It turned into a massive addiction, and now you have a couple of polytunnels, and you're feeding the whole family and the neighbours and everyone else.
That's it, yeah. Well, we'd say, but and here's the thing, like we were saying about the power of growing your own nutrition, and that's, you know, something that I've actually played with. And I believe, you know, what you're doing when you're growing, you are actually growing your own nutrition, because you're not going to get any better than the food that's grown in soil that's chemically free, that's grown on proper, you know, really good fertile soil, because you're taking up all the microbes, you're getting all the phytonutrients from the green plants and everything else. So it is a powerhouse. And one example, like my wife gives blood, she has that blood group that anyone can use, and she's very slim and petite. So over the years, when I met her, she was given blood every maybe twice, three times a year, four times a year, whatever it was. I think she's nearly close to her 100th donation now. And when sometimes she'd go in and they test the blood and they say, geez, your blood is just borderline. Maybe we'll skip it this time and we'll do it the next time. So then as years went on, and she'd go in and the nurse said, geez, your blood has never been as good. What are you doing? And she's not doing anything different. I still eat whatever, but she's the only thing I'm doing different. The husband just grows tons of broccoli and peas and beans. And she said, that's what it is, the broccoli. She said, the nurse said to her, it has to be, you know, the vegetables increase in your, you know, and she was saying, that's all she'd be doing. And every time she goes in now, she says, geez, your bloods are just fantastic. And we, like, there's not a dinner like we would have that wouldn't have broccoli in it that's grown in the garden, like. So, and even my daughter, like, she's, yeah.
That is amazing. So broccoli is one of those foods, Ollie, you know how powerful it is. It contains the likes of fiber, it contains antioxidants, contains vitamin C, contains iron, and those antioxidants are able to neutralize free radicals. But even specifically, I love knowing a little bit of science behind it. The antioxidant found in broccoli is called sulfurophane. Don't ask me to spell it. Okay, it's one of those absolute breadwinners, okay? That again, that is found in so many different medications out there. But when you can literally grow from a tiny seed, and the brassicas are one of the easiest ones to grow, and maybe a little bit easier will be kale, but broccoli, an absolute no-brainer. Sowing again one seed in a little yogurt tub, starting it off, transplanting it outside and putting the net over it, because I know loads of people will say, there's something eating my, gonna say, brassicas outside each and every year, but I do see lovely white butterflies all around them. And that's with the sign for covering them over with a net, because if anybody has grown brassicas, whether it's a cabbage, a kale, or broccoli, they'll know too well all about the caterpillars, and they will literally devour in, I'm gonna say, a number of days, your lovely nutrient dense crops that can improve the likes of your bloods, which also have a knock on effect to your energy levels and everything else in between, which the people are looking for, Ali. They're looking for a solution, and it's out there for them.
Yeah. Well, 100%. And as I said, like, you don't need, like, once you start off small and just like I've done videos just growing potatoes, seed potatoes in hubs and bags this weekend, you know, just showing people how, you know, how split, because my father's 87 now, and he's been growing, like, I remember we went from growing a half, probably a half an acre of potatoes. I remember pitting potatoes and going up, getting them, and afraid of my life that the rats are being underneath the pit. And that's, you know, and we spent our summers, like, my job during the summer was, I have a younger brother, JP, and my job in the summer was weeding the peas, well, and told not to eat them, and weeding and picking caterpillars, going around picking the caterpillars. And my brother's job was, he had a badminton racket. He used to ground the white butterflies.
Hey, well, there's organic at its finest, going back to the root.
That's what we done, you know. And it was just like, you didn't want to be doing it. Like, you'd fucking, you'd be kicking up a fuss. But that's what the job was. And you come home and the job was expected, and it was about 100 peas ash in a day. Like, but then, but that's how we grew up. So like now I had to go, like, I was over in Charles Dowling's farm there only a while ago, and few people are saying, God, you're obsessed with looking under the leaf of the plant. Because when I'm down the garden, I'm always turning the leaf upside down and looking under it and checking it. I'm checking it for caterpillars and checking it for eggs and checking it for green fly. I'm constantly around all the time. I'm just wandering around, I lift up the leaf and look at the underside of the leaf.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things that sometimes people actually don't realize what's involved, I'm going to say, in going to producing your own food. There is a small bit of maintenance in it, but again, it's something that gives you massive benefit out the other side of it. If anybody wants to be healthier, if anyone wants to be happier, okay, it's that key thing that, right, 90% of your serotonin produced in your gut, and that is, and your beneficial microorganisms eat those, I'm going to say, fibers found in every different fruit and vegetable. But yeah, while I have you there as well, is there, I'm going to say, leave you expand on this point, benefits of seaweed and why that is, I suppose, beneficial to apply to the likes of the soil. Touch on that.
Yeah, well, the seaweed, the granular seaweed, like both the granular and the liquid, the granular, I suppose, for the soil, is full of organic matter. But again, it contains up to 20 times more nutrients than any land-owned plant. So when you put it down into the root system, it's a brilliant soil conditioner, obviously, but like the worms absolutely love it. So you'll find an increase in worms, and you're feeding the microbes in the soil and the microorganisms, because there's a certain amount of sugars in the seaweed as well when they're breaking down, that the microbes love it. And that's why it's very good for root development. So that's the seaweed. It's so powerful. And there's so much more in it. Like, I remember going to a meeting about it and the scientist saying it's nearly what we don't know that's in it yet. Because every year we get another thing, you know, a reading, oh, we've just found this in it, and this contributes to this. And but it is, like, you will see, like, even when you're potting up plants and stuff like that, and people, you know, it holds moisture around the plants, especially in the tunnels. I find it very good, or in potted plants, because you put a good handful in, it actually expands and it'll hold moisture around the root zone, so your soil is not drying out as much, and it's holding on a bit more to moisture as well. So
yeah, that's a good one. And again, it's always worth repeating, is the idea of, all right, when we add these natural sources of, I'm going to say, minerals and vitamins that, are, again, you can apply to, like, your polytunnel, you're saving on labor. Because a lot of people say, God, it's the worst thing ever. I have to go out into that polytunnel and I have to do all that watering. And even another tip that I recently found out from, again, another small grower based up in Galway, he's putting sheep wool in and around his tomato plants after doing a heavy watering, that keeps, I suppose, the moisture in the likes of the soil. And it's also a weed suppressant. Did you ever come across that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've been using it there for a while now. I didn't use it that much last year. The year before I had a bit of wool, And the time we used to keep a few sheep, we used to have alpacas here and Jacob sheep. And I used to keep a bit for that. I used to put it in the garden, but I'd read somewhere before that it was quite good. But then I kind of got out of flavor oil because I was storing it and then mice were nesting in
Hiding
it. So I said, oh, forget about this. But no, it's perfect. Yeah, if you can get it and get it as clean and stuff like that, that is not, you know, that's not kind of any. Because the thing with sheep wool, if it's too knotted together and it's not clean, you could end up with maggots in it and stuff like that too. So it, you know, you want it.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to it in itself. But again, we can further expand on the likes of, I suppose, soil. We were chatting there yesterday on the phone, bank holiday or not, this podcast will be out on a Thursday. But the point is, all right, looking after and how important the soil is, we can further have a chat about that.
Yeah, look, I suppose part of my business is like we work a lot with farmers as well as gardeners, and we're very lucky, I suppose. But, you know, I always say, you know, even with like, and I was giving a bit of a talk there last week, and people were asking me, oh, you know, about global warming and climate change and all that. It's something that doesn't keep me awake at night, to be honest with you. I don't like, since I was going to school, remember we got geography teacher telling us that Ireland was going to be foot in water by nearly again, I'd be 50. So, you know, so what. But what we do need, you know, the fundamental things we need for life is water and soil and obviously sun. But what, because you go, like you did talk about going to Mars and Elon Musk talked about going to Mars. What did they talk about? Have we a water source up there? Have we soil? And if we don't keep these elements right, we're screwed. You know, we are honestly, like we can't grow our own food, you know, in the soil. You know, I know there's a lot of crops grown hydroponically out there, which is fine, but that's a lot of induced chemicals into your thing. But if you don't have really good soil, you're not going to grow really healthy plants, nutrient-rich plants. You want plants that grow in good soil, obviously with good water, and you're getting good sunshine that you're getting the maximum out of you. Because if you have veg coming in from abroad and it's grown in a controlled environment with chemicals, not seeing the daylight, not seeing sunlight really, and next thing you're getting this fine, freaking unique head of broccoli or cauliflower or whatever it may be. But how nutrient dense can it be like? You know, compared. So, like, I was at a show, I was actually at the Pound Championship, and I met this farmer, and I was telling him about the organic products we had, and he was skeptical about it. And his, there were three generations, and it was lovely. Now, your man was in his mid 70s, and his son was there, and the grandson, and he was still farming the land. And they do a certain amount of tillage and they do a bit of beef. And I was just asking, and I said, well, look, I just asked you a simple question. I said, what's your plan for your farm when you're finished with it? And he goes, well, my son is going to take it over. He's getting his certs and all that. And I says, brilliant. And I turned around to son, and I says, what would you like to happen after that? And he says, I'd love to see that young man take over. And I said, that's admirable. That's the way it should be. You know, that's the way we've always done it on farm, and is that way, you know, passed down generation to generation. And then I said, one last thing. What would you like that young lad to say about you in 50 years' time? Would you like to say, God, my father was very progressive and he looked after the soil. And my grandfather effed that soil up. And now I'm not. And I said, here are the two choices we have to make. Do you want to leave a really good bit of soil behind you? Or do you want to leave something that's useless to the next generation? And that's what we're doing with over-fertilizing. We're destroying the ground. We're destroying the waterways. We're, you know, it's heartbreaking to see it.
Yeah, mismanagement of land, I suppose, is something that's become more and more common. And maybe you could say, Ollie, it's because that maybe lack of information, or in combination with stubbornness from the older individuals who are the landowners right now. But right now, we're nearly information overload. However, we're knowledge lacking, right? And we have to put that knowledge into practice, right? And starting at a small scale is what I suppose you'd be a major advocate of, using your social media platform to really educate people to see, show them how simple it actually is, whether it's growing a spud in a bag or growing a couple of peas or climbing up a string or even a piece of chicken wire.
No, because I didn't go back, like going back to the gardening thing, it is, and that's how simple it is. Because you know the essence, and you hopped on it earlier on there when you said, and I love seeing just one, and I always, you know, I take when I'm sowing a seed, I just look at the seed and I say, my God, you know, this one little tiny millimeter, you know, in diameter of a thing is going to produce serious amount of food for my family, like just one. And I'm always amazed to see it grow and grow and grow, and you know, it just, and back to the health. You know, you're not only getting nutrition from what you're eating, you're down exercising the garden, you're getting fresh air. You know, I don't honestly think there's anything better to do than a bit of gardening, like.
It's all right. It's not fine. Like, you're outside, there's sunlight, there's fresh air, there's free exercise, and there's increased nutrients from it in itself. There's the famous five. I think I could be using that for a branding thing in the future. The famous five you get when you're growing your own. It couldn't be any healthier. But the thing is, we could touch on this. It's the fact that some people think that, growing, it's not for me. That's for, I'm gonna say, the peasants and everyone else, maybe the poorer generation. But in fact, it's not money that makes you wealthy. It's actually your health.
Absolutely, 110%. Yeah, for sure. It is like, and, you know, it's back to the old thing. I suppose it goes back, like, when I was, like, my parents always, like, I don't think there was, and even my neighbors and anyone of that generation, like, I was talking to my friend Sean about this, like, and his father always grew his own. And all he used was farmyard manure from the farm he worked with, no chemicals around the place. And we were really chatting, he died there last year or the year before. And, like, and he was 87, 88. But he, and we were just chatting there one evening about it. He said, I never remember processed food in our house. Ever. He said, there was another sliced pan that was about the height of processed food as we got. Like, he, I said, I don't think my father ever ate a tin of beans. Like, you know, so what? And then we went in the 80s and everything was convenient. And, you know, as consumers, and you see it all the time, like the perfect carrots, the perfect head of broccoli, the. Someone was telling me lately about they're sending in bags, up and loud, and they were sending bags of lettuce and stuff to the local supermarket, and someone was horrified to find a little slug in it and brought back in, you know. And, you know, that's, you know, if there's not a lot, I do say to people, if you're going to buy fruit and vegetables, there's not a bite taken out of it, we don't buy it.
And you know what? Here, I'll tell you a good one. Ollie, if that was in France, you'd be paying double for it. Do you know what I mean? But that's only humorous. But the point is, right? I'd much rather, like you touched on there, right? See whether it's a caterpillar and or it's a slug or a snail inside in a salad bag that you know then, inevitably, it hasn't been sprayed to repel those pests, which in fact are part of the whole ecosystem that are natural, I suppose, involvement of biodiversity in itself that is going down and down, lower and lower, because we don't have enough growers in the country. Because people are not putting value on the food that they're eating on a regular basis. But it's coming again back into that realization that we can take control of our foods. And once you take control of your own, I suppose, food, you take control of your own health, which is a benefit in everybody else, your family members, right? Your work colleagues, and again, just going back to your own health.
Yeah, no, I think that's the key. And it was something I was thinking about yesterday when I was down the garden. It is, and I think you just hit on it nicely there. It is control, taking back control of what you're putting into your mouth. And I think when you're growing your own, you're in full control. And when you're buying it in your local fruit and veg shop. But a very, you know, again, I was on to the Organic Association last week about, because I was out on an organic farm, and the lady from the Organic Association was taking samples of the meal and stuff that the cattle were being fed. And I just asked her, I said, so what are you doing with the meal? And she's over testing for pesticides to make sure that it's grown from. And I said, all right. And I said, will you be able to trace? Oh, yeah, we'll trace. If it was pesticide spraying on it, it will be in still in the grain. I was blown away. And I did remember some of the time to do test it, you know. And then I rang the Organic Association. And I said, so I said, would you? Oh, yeah, we test an awful lot. And we test, you know, there's loads of good organic farms around the country, and we test them. And thankfully, they're always nearly always negative, which is, and I said, who tests them? The stuff coming in from abroad, like when you go to your. She said, well, that's kind of on the discretion of the supermarket, and there is a threshold there. So it's like you can, as I explained to her, you can have a pint of water and put one drop of Roundup, and it's classified, well, it's safe to drink. It's not going to kill you. Well, not now. So I said, like, what level? And I just said to people, like, what level of poison do you want in your food? Like, do you want none, or do you want a tiny bit that someone in a. And she was saying it is hugely on the discretion. And some supermarkets said are really good and really stringent on it, you know, and they'll get it within the range, but it's guaranteed that it's on it.
Yeah,
So,
but that's the difference. So to tell the listeners, glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup, which is often used to spray periphery edges of our gardens and or on a large scale. It might be in the increasing the harvest process, the time and duration it's taken, whether it's oats and sometimes it's the leaves, the foliage, the potatoes. So that's just two basic examples. And a healthy example of a breakfast would be potatoes. I would have potatoes for breakfast, maybe fried, but we can go with oats. Okay, so if you want a simple switch up of your diet to something that doesn't contain harsh chemicals or that glyphosate, that active ingredient, which has been proven over a period of time in cases in Monsanto in America that causes cancer, right? It causes illness. So it's the point that really, if you want to really make that little switch in your diet to be that one little bit healthier, if you don't, most certainly, that's absolutely fine. But the thing is, we have control, and we're with the money that we earn on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis to look after our own health through real foods. Okay, it's the idea that food is medicine, and it's great that we touched on that point and brought that up. That again, there's organic growers that have been tested all around the country. However, the non-organic growers or the produce that's been shipped halfway across the world and brought into this country that we're getting for 49 cent or in discount stores or less than a euro, like how in the name of God do we think that something could be produced? They are heads of broccoli for less than 50 cent. Could you imagine that?
Crazy. I see it in their bags of carrots, 49 cents, cauliflower, like, and you couldn't, she can't. I just, I'm not bothering. Like, so someone is losing, you know, and sometimes Irish farming, you see them up in the air, the same thing about it. But, you know, and it's, you know, even like we done, like, even something that I'm a square foot garden instructor, and I used to teach people how to grow just in square foot, like. And I remember a few people that started, like this woman, she had been gardening for years, and she came in one of the courses we done just around lockdown, I think it was. And she was growing for years and reasonable success, you know. And then she got into the square foot gardening grade, and she bought some of these square foot gardens that we had done. And we started teaching them how to start growing in square foot. So in one square foot, you can get 16 beetroots, 24 small carrots, you get one broccoli plant and green beans and all that. And she was coming back the next evening. She says, "I cannot believe how much, like, one 4 by 4 square foot bed run out in grade will feed probably two people for the whole garden season from, you know, give or take June right into September, October. Worked right, like, so, you know." And that's only, like, you think of it, it's 4 foot by 4 foot bed, like. And so, as I say to people, it doesn't take a lot to grow a load of stuff, like, you know.
Without a shadow
And
of a doubt.
yeah.
And even then gained advantage only of a polytunnel, or even we'll call it a lean-to, which I'd be an
Yes.
educator of teaching people how to grow. I'd say, Colin, I haven't €1,000 to blow on a polytunnel or a glass house. I say, do you know what? You go around to a skip, you'll find a clear sheet of galvanized, or you'll see doors being thrown out. You lean that up against the wall. You could grow a couple of tomatoes, a cucumber, one tomato plant, one cucumber, and if you found another door, you grow another cucumber, which one cucumber is enough for any man, woman, or child. Just putting that out there for growers
Absolutely.
this year. In 2024, you can have two, if not three, main leaders if you wanted to. But that's here and there. It's a different show. But yeah, you can grow an abundance of things on the, I'm going to say, on the cheap to gain the advantage massively from foods that haven't any harsh chemicals that have negative effects on your overall gut health.
100%. Yeah, and it doesn't. It doesn't always have to be pretty. You know what I mean? It once it's grown. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not. Because I don't have people come in and say, "Oh God, your garden is lovely." And I say, "Jeez, the state of it." Like, I don't. You know, especially like I do keep it reasonably tidy because you're down there. You know, you're always weeding and stuff. But like again, like I was down running one morning. I do, you know, I love a bit of exercise, and I seen this guy, and I couldn't catch him. He was after throwing off a bathroom sweep in the side of the road, like just tipped out a bath, the shower, and a toilet. And I fucking got annoyed, and I swear I was going to. Anyways, I came home anyways, and I was giving out to myself, and I was giving out to anyone to listen to me. So I got into the van, down, I loaded them up into the back of the van, and I said, "What am I going to do with these now?" So out of the shower tray, I made a water collection unit. I made up this thing, and out of the bath, I made a big wormery. So I put in a load of mesh in the bottom and gravel, and still have it out there, and I throw all the leftover vegetables into it there from the garden, bigger stuff and potato leaves, and add in all the shredded paper from the office, got in there, a lot of cardboard from our packaging goes into that, warmed it all up, and every year I get a bath full of soil. And that was just stuff that was thrown out at the side of the road, freaking, you know, and it's gonna bring it to dump. But it's you know, there's so much you can, as you say, and I think that's a brilliant idea. Just, you know, as you say, you go to loads of skips and just get a sheet of, you know, clear Perspex and.
The mountain of stuff, right? That people can gain advantage of. So, and then again, the idea of all those things that are thrown out, you can reuse again, I suppose, huge, huge benefits from out the other side in itself. Ollie, I'd love you to, I suppose, expand on maybe what are your five top vegetables for people maybe to grow for beginners to intermediates starting off.
Yeah, I always say to people, I would look at what you use. And I think nearly every house has what the main ingredient, everything is onions, anyways. Onions, maybe garlic. And look, if you like broccoli, definitely you're not going to go wrong. Like, I love climate plants. I love the green beans. I just love to see stuff climbing. The green beans are huge. And think about the green beans and the peas, they're high producing. So you can one plant. So I suppose my top ones are definitely. I suppose when I'm planting now onions, I don't have any garlic in at the moment. My broccoli, I love growing courgettes. I just, they're
Yeah,
just
they're great. Not
excellent.
too many. Not too many lads, because they will turn into
No.
marrows.
Yeah. And definitely a few early potatoes. You're not going to go wrong with the first. I think they'd be, but start off just with the first early variety or second early variety, and let them in before there's too much maintenance with blight and stuff like that, you know. But I suppose definitely, you know. And a bit of kale. So I'd say definitely kale, broccoli, potatoes, onions. As I say, courgettes, but depending on your space. But courgettes will grow in a tub anyways. A little, you'll grow them anywhere. And
And again, that's simple crops for anybody starting off this year. And for that, you're getting again your carbohydrates in the likes of your potatoes. You're getting your onions, which are natural prebiotics. And onions, I would say, probably are the easiest, right? How do you grow an onion? You get an onion set, you put it in the ground, it swells. That's your onion. That's it. There's nothing magic after that. Well, there's not
wrap it
magic in
up.
it. The fact that that's how simple it is. You
Yeah.
couldn't get
And
simpler.
no, and onions and beetroot, like they're the one thing, like there's really no predators out there that's going to, there's very little. Like the odd time you might see on the stalk of an onion, you'd see an old slug attacking it, but like there's not much that's going to attack them too much. And the same with the beetroot, like so, like even I find I find spinach is quite good as well. That way, you don't get early on, you don't get the caterpillars and stuff. You get the odd moth thing on it, but like I don't like I and the thing about spinach as well, you can get varieties there of the chard, and it'll keep growing all year round, like so.
And spinach, I'd nearly recommend for beginners or intermediates, my people, Pepto, to like slightly broader kind of a leaf. And again, it's one of
Yes.
those things that the slugs don't like as much as the New Zealand. I think spinach is another one variety that's there. But again, those are really simple things that people can grow from home. Rainbow chard, perpetual spinach, your onions, your garlics, leeks would probably be there as well. They're really easy. One
Yeah.
literally
Yeah.
two seeds per cell or container for yourself, transplanted in, very few pests, very few diseases. And those are again a no-brainer. You put them into the ground, you keep it clear roughly for a couple of months, and then throughout the winter, when we're coming into the cooler months of the year, you have leeks for potato and leek soup if you store some
Absolutely.
of the potato
Yeah.
from the
And you couldn't
summer.
like virtually, yeah, but like even if you go back to it, like I just when you were hitting on that, like even like the Brussels sprout, like if you think of it, like years ago, we ate with the seasons. We never, like, there was never a tomato in, on the Christmas table. Like, there was everything was, there was the leek soup for the winter months. You had your kale, winter kale, you had winter cabbage, you had your Brussels sprouts, and I think, when people, I always tell people, look, just think, what we'll eat. So, like, definitely over the winter, like, even when it comes into the latter end of the year, start thinking of put in a few kale that's going to do you over the winter, put in a few Brussels sprouts if you eat them. I love them, but
So do I. And again, they're from the brassica family in itself. Again, another nutrient dense food that people can gain massive advantages from. Right, Ollie, I suppose just conscious of time as well, let I suppose the listeners know a little bit about that seaweed product that you currently have for growers or beginners or intermediates who are looking to, I suppose, gain advantage more from what they've done in the past.
So all the products we have across the range, like we have, like everything we have is certified organic and natural. Like there's no, we don't do chemicals whatsoever. So look, we have our liquid seaweed. I'm a big fan. If anyone watches any of the videos I do, like it's just, I love foliar feeding. I foliar feed everything once a week because the plant will actually absorb nutrients far quicker through the leaf than up to root system if you're doing it short evening time. So even tomatoes and everything, I missed everything once a week with it, man, or once a fortnight, whether it's flowered or vegetables. But it's and the liquid associated with it, I don't have a bottle here. But you can nearly drink it. That's how safe it is. And I do videos on that as well. So then the granular seaweed and the soil condition, you're not going to get any better. You know, it increases, you know, it feeds the microbes and all that. And then we have our tomato feed certified organic. And we have a root booster as well. It's a brilliant product just for undoing transplant shock. Again, it increases secondary root hair systems on the root systems. And they're the ones that you really want to take up the nutrients, the phytonutrients from the soil, these secondary root hair systems. So this is everything we do is all about soil and root development, because as I always say, healthy soil, healthy root, healthy plant. And so that's everything is based around that in our company, you know, that's what we want, just to keep the soil, the plant and everything more nutrient dense, like.
Yeah, so, I suppose that knock-on effect. You look after the soil, plant looks after itself, you then gain advantage to consume those healthy, I'm going to say harsh chemical sprayed food items to be the best version of yourself out the other side of it. Ollie, I suppose for anyone who wants to see a couple of your videos or check out any of your social media or get in contact with you to sample some of your products, where's the best place for them people to get in touch base with you?
Yeah, if you want to go on to the website there, www.betterplants.ie, or you get us at Better Plants, Instagram at Better Plants, Facebook. I think we're Better Plants on TikTok, LinkedIn. I don't bother with Twitter. I got rid of my Twitter account a while ago because it was driving me mad. So I don't do anything with Twitter. So any of the other rest of them, you'll get it. That I try and post a video. And anything about doing the video, I love doing the video because I feel, as you said earlier on, you know, it is our job. We have a bit of knowledge, and you're very good at it as well. And sharing that to people, you know, I love doing. And even if it's only a short 2 minute video that they can take up. And I always think, if I was in that person's shoes, what message do I want? Do I want, you know? So I try and keep everything simple and straightforward for people just to manage. And I think that's the importance of it.
Totally, yeah. And I suppose if anyone is and would like to check out Ollie's page, I'd highly recommend them. Simple, no brainer. And it's again, no BS. It's literally, again, black and white. See what you get. And again, it's free information that you can gain the advantage of growing your own. And other than that, I suppose, Ali, I love finishing these shows saying, firstly, thanks so much for giving me your time. Stay tuned, stay classy, and keep it organic. If you enjoyed this week's podcast, and if you would do me a small favor, that helps me massively, if you could either share it on your stories, leave a review, and or just pass it on to one individual, friend, family member, through your social media. That helps massively. You would barely believe it. All right, and things coming up very, very soon in the near future. Okay, we have going into the likes of the month of April. Okay, we have the Camino fully booked out. Okay, don't you worry about that, because we are going then on to the likes of the next Grow Your Own in the 13th of, I'm going to say April, but not only that, in Lismore, in Bally in House. Okay, where there is private grounds, we'll be showing you hands-on demo how to do it, most certainly yourself, so you can do the exact same thing at home. We are leaning in on to the likes of the bank holiday weekend in May. May is busy. We have the 4th and the 5th. Okay, there is a cookery masterclass, but I'm not cooking on that occasion. I'm also showing you guys how to go inside in a polytunnel and raise beds. Example, that's the 4th and the 5th. That's in Kilkenny. Yeah, that's at Mountain View, Kilkenny. We are then leaning towards the classic, okay, Skull Retreat on the 11th. Okay, starting on Friday the 10th. The 10th, the 11th, and the 12th of May. Okay, if you want to come to any of these different events, okay, and there's even a further one on May the 24th, that is the Mallow in County Cork Flower and Garden Show. I will be at that one too. You want to come to any of these events, send me a private message. I will send you the link directly. Other than that, see you next week.